myself and post them on the internet. Everybody, this is the We Hate Sports podcast. We hate football specifically. It's just terrible. You should stop. Just stop. Stop listening. This is not a football podcast whatsoever. Turn it off. Stop listening. Mm-hmm. Hit that pause. Why? It's over. Fuck it.
Just go back to the beginning and listen to a Chrysler ad.
Yeah.
Just,
keep listening to that same Chrysler ad over and over and over. It's going to be awesome.
Let's just keep it real serious tonight. It's really it's down.
Welcome to the visitor section. It's your hosts, Mike Irwin and Mike Irwin.
Wait. Did it happen?
The dual Mike Irwin show.
It happened. It finally happened. After years of hoping and waiting and praying, I get to meet my doppelganger.
There might be another guy named Josh or somebody. I don't know. I don't know his last name. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I'm surprised you're still listening at this point.
It's Joshy Manziel.
It's Joshy Manziel.
It's Josh Callahan.
Josh, you want to know about Bo Callahan?
I do want to know about Bo Callahan.
No, you don't. Josh. We're moving on. Moving on. No more Bo Callahans.
No, it's not true.
Okay,
it's
tell everybody what you did. You finally watched Draft Day, because all our other shows, you had no idea that this movie existed. And then when I was laying out stupid one-liners for it, you had no clue what I was saying.
No.
Whatsoever.
I mean, I knew of a movie called Draft Day. Uh-huh. I knew it was about the Cleveland Browns.
Held out this long. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's garbage, right? Like, and I didn't want to waste my valuable time with garbage. Right. And part of it, Josh, is when this movie came out, I was on a really downslide with my relationship with the Cleveland Browns, specifically related to the NFL draft. There were like 2 years in a row where the draft was dictated and swung on the Browns.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I found completely ridiculous.
And every year, like we say on every show, Dark Horse.
Cleveland
Lifetime
Browns.
Dark Horse Achievement Awards go to the Cleveland Browns.
I just couldn't take it, and there was a piece of me that was not going to play into it. You know, this was the year Johnny Manziel was taken. I just let it go. I was just
wait a minute. Whedon and Richardson, remember those?
Woo! Strong draft.
Fucking strong.
Ooh. So much value.
Wait,
there.
With a corner that nobody thinks plays in the league anymore, and a quarterback that had to go to rehab. Woof! Strong.
Kevin Costner is on top of his game, sir.
Kevin Costner is all over this.
So if you haven't seen Draft Day, the reason I've seen it is because it's streaming somewhere, so I was able to watch it.
Illegally.
No, on HBO Go. So that's totally.
Oh, because they're just giving this movie away.
They're like, please watch this.
Just get it out of here.
It's the water world of football. Please, we spent a lot of money on this.
We don't want to know anything anymore.
So if you haven't seen Draft Day,
turn off the podcast.
Yeah, good. Don't spoil alert.
Spoiler alert.
2.5 years later, it's about a team finding themselves on the day of the draft.
God, this movie's so terrible.
I don't want to say it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's like when you asked me before we started the show, is Ryan Tannehill, does he play football good?
Mm-hmm.
Does this movie play good? I don't think so. I think Draft Day and Tannehill go together. I know there's some guys at home right now listening, going, getting there all excited about how, you know, we're supposed to be praising Tannehill, but I can't really give you any praise because he hasn't really done anything for me to tell you, hey, yeah, he warrants this. Just like this movie doesn't warrant anything. terrible.
Well, I think, I mean, part of it is that when you look at Bo Callahan.
You want to know about Bo Callahan?
He's your prototypical strong arm, 6'3", 240 quarterback, right? And you look at Tannehill, and you got a guy who played wide receiver for most of his career.
Right.
Who just can randomly throw a football.
Go to the next play.
Yeah, I mean.
What's missing? What's missing?
It's just, so when you mentioned.
So bad.
When you mentioned this movie to me in passing about how you can't trade away all your first round picks for a dude you've never done any tape on. But apparently you can, Josh.
You can. Happens all the time in the NFL. Happens all the time in the NFL. I tell you, trade away all your first rounders for some guy that you just don't even, you didn't do any research on. Happens all the time, I tell you. Patriots do it all the time. They draft seventh rounders anywhere they want.
First round pick, seventh round. So, what was your biggest problem with this movie, other than it was made?
Other than it was made?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, come on, man. Like, the stupid love story that, like, whatever the fuck that was. Let's go in the closet. I don't want to be a secret anymore. Oh, this is the girl. Yeah, this is the girl. I'm pregnant. Oh, how convenient. All this while fucking draft shit is going on. Pause this shit for a minute? I'm trying to draft here. No.
That was one of my... Okay, there's two gripes. It's Jennifer Gardner. She really wants to talk about how she's pregnant. Get it. I get it, right?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of gripes now that they're lining up in my head. They've queued up and they're waiting their turn.
Okay.
So there's that. There's his mom and her hair. Those are two different gripes. I don't know if you remember, but the front...
Remember the scene where she's on the practice field that's got, like, this beautiful sky behind her? She's staring up at him with the ashes.
The ashes of her dad.
Ashes of his dad that he hates but doesn't hate. And then he was forced to fire. But everybody just said, you know, blame it all on Kevin. Kevin.
Is that his name?
I don't know if Kevin was his name. I don't think it is. For the sake of, for brevity, we're just going to call him Kevin.
I'm going to call him Kevin throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So there goes Kevin, and he's sitting, he's talking it out with his new girlfriend who got pregnant. But his mom's hair through most of the movie, I think, is supposed to be a Browns helmet. Like, I'm pretty sure that was the visual we were going for.
I thought she was, like, throwing the whole... I'm in church, purple hair lady.
Well, so there was a white streak, which I think
We're gonna do it now.
Symbolizes the
Jesus
face mask.
Jesus Christ, I'm trying to draft here. We didn't watch any film on any of these players, and you guys come shit on me on this one day? This morning I just shit all our first rounders out. You just come on to me today?
So,
yeah.
Which also explained the staff that was going on in Cleveland for a while. You can't just jump ashes on your practice field. It's not a thing you can do. Not acceptable. That's a gripe.
That's my dad.
But I do want to talk about, I think sometimes in the visit.
We played football together, and we like to put his ashes out on the practice field.
That people feel that we're really negative on the visitors.
We're so negative.
But I do want to tell you about a scene that I love, Josh.
Okay, we got to have some positivity. Let's hear it. Scene that you loved.
Okay, so
was it the brass knuckle phone case?
No, okay,
was that
so,
it?
So there's Brian Hoyer has gone into
Brian Hoyer office. Made yeah Brian Drew / Brian Hoyer
and he's destroyed it, right? For some reason, Brian Hoyer's just really upset.
You fuckers!
This happens all the time. Quarterbacks are there just randomly on draft day, working out, and then they run into the GM's office and they destroy it.
Yeah,
you must see it every year.
I tell you, if I had a dollar for every time that happened,
you'd have $32 a year.
$32.
So
enough to buy this movie on Blu-ray.
That's a good point. So
twice
the. So that's that. Just imagine Kevin's office completely destroyed.
Yeah.
there's a point where his mom walks in and is like ranting at him, like, I think about ashes. I don't know. I don't know why his ex-wife is there either.
About now.
His ex-wife just randomly shows up on draft day to
she hangs out
shit.
With mom. She's with mom all the time.
So he gets Kevin gets a little testy, shows his emotion. He grabs the shitty intern's computer and he just flings it at the wall. Which I love. I thought that was great. And then there's a moment where the intern is trying to put his computer back together with like tape.
Because this geeky nerd knows how to put together laptops with tape.
Well, apparently he doesn't, Josh, because he starts crying. And it's just those two scenes. And I granted, it's probably just one scene. I would watch the movie again.
I suggest everybody after this podcast go watch the movie and have yourself a good old time hating yourself for watching that movie.
So
what is the rating of this thing? It's got to be like, here, fuck it. I'll look it up. Brian, you just stay there.
So I think when I think about this movie,
Brian, put it down. I got it.
You should just take his laptop
and throw it. 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
I don't know who's rating.
61% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, overall, it's not like a miserable movie. It's just if you like
it's
football,
a pointless movie.
It makes no sense. And I'm still trying to grade this guy's draft. I can't decide if Kevin actually won the draft as they told me he did. Like, I don't know.
You didn't have a problem with the head coach? Dennis Leary is the head coach. I can coach this football team.
I was just glad to see they worked it out in the end.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would have felt.
All those meaningful stares. Those are some meaningful stares they have at each other. Nothing says, I got your back like a good stare down.
It takes... Sometimes there's a little tension in the room, and you just got to do what you got to do to get through it. And I think that Kevin and Dennis, they worked through it pretty admirably. When you think about where they were at the beginning of the day, where you have Kevin trading away all three first-round picks for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I think Dennis had a little bit on his plate, you know, to weigh when he figures he's got to get a running back.
Bo Callahan is a mixture of Geno Smith and Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck and Geno Smith had a baby, it would be Bo Callahan.
Well, that assumes that guy can throw a football. I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
I haven't gotten
to that. We had to get P. Diddy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's always room for Terry Crews. I enjoy everything Terry Crews does. He's a great guy. The one guy that I'm shocked was not in the movie is, can you take a wild guess where I'm going with that? Paul Giamatti. I think that he clearly missed a mark. He could have been anywhere in this movie. I think he. I think his movie.
I was like, who's the Gooding Jr.?
Steven Seagal, Paul Giamatti, and Cuba Gooding Jr. That would solidify this cast. I think Paul Giamatti is steadily understanding what it takes to be an actor and taking any role is clearly his avenue of what he wants to do. I think it's amazing.
Well,
from Downtown Abbey to Sideways to Amazing Spider-Man, whatever number, this guy's got a plethora of movies that are just, I'm surprised this isn't on there.
You know, I had a question about the draft order.
Okay.
So you have Kevin reaching for Mac, the linebacker from Ohio State, all the way to number one. Which
number
I
one?
Care.
So is a guy that might not even get drafted in the first round.
Well, I think the consensus he was like a 10 to 15 pick, right? You had Houston looking at him at 15. He's expected to at least be there at 7.
Yeah, good old Houston.
They take him at first. They
doing
take
their
him
due diligence.
Yeah. So there's that. And then they somehow get back in. They get the 6. They blackmail the Seahawks.
Yeah.
They get down to 7. They get their first-round picks back. No one talks about that. They'd still given up 3 years of number 2s. Like, that was not a thing.
It's okay.
Is it?
Because then they got that one special teamers that everybody got excited for that'll probably be cut in 2 years.
Yeah, Dante Hall.
Dante Hall.
But see,
the old like, Dante Hall, not like the young one.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the human.
Not the X Factor. Not the huge X Factor Dante Hall. Oh no, they got the. This guy shouldn't even be playing football anymore.
Well, it's just when I look at our chart, we pull this thing out once a year during the draft. You go, wow, my first round pick is worth 2,500 points. You're like, okay. But again, not knowing where the Browns are going to fall, you have to sort of just kind of take a wild guess what 3 second-round picks are. But I don't see the math working out. I mean, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, the only thing you're happy about is you don't have to pick. You don't have to pick a guy for his ACL to explode or to be out of the league in a couple of years. Like, so congratulations on that. But if you're looking at, I mean, I don't know. Is it a situation where the Jags should have taken Bo Callahan? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But how realistic is that, Josh? If the Jets were to trade 3 second-round picks for, I don't know. Let's just not even say pick 6, because that's pretty high. But, like, pick 10, pick 15.
Okay.
Would you be comfortable with that?
No. No, I wouldn't. Not at all. I think what's more exciting is that Chris Berman was in this movie. Mel Kiper was in this movie. Deion Sanders, John Gruden, Mike Mayock. You just look at this cast, and they've hit every idiot in the world. Ray Lewis was there. Here's the number one. What's this guy's name? Commissioner Roger Goodell. That's number one right there. That Rich Eisen was on there.
Most unrealistic scene in this movie
was probably professional asshole Warren Sapp giving out advice.
Mm. I went with anybody cheering for Goodell ever.
Okay.
I found it, I don't want to say repugnant, because that's a strong.
You know, Paul Tagliabue was probably a good commissioner because none of this shit got out in the open. I feel like Paul Tagliabue was like, woo!
Yeah, I don't feel like people booed him and hated him the way in which we all hate Roger Goodell.
I think it's because of the modern day.
Yeah, it's got to be strike related. I feel like after the strike, and then we had the referee crap, we had the CBA, we've had all the murders.
So there's been a lot of bad. A lot of bad after bad after bad, where Paul Tagliabue didn't have to worry about any of this.
Nah, he didn't deal with that shit.
No, because he swept it under the rug.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Uncle Paul, man. Deal with it.
Him and Gene Upshaw did their thing.
Yeah, it just worked.
Yeah. Okay. Now you got some guy that probably shouldn't be in charge of the NFLPA and some guy that shouldn't be in charge of the NFL. And there you have it.
I just want to point out that under Tagliabue, I can never say his name, I'm sorry. Yeah. Paul, Uncle Paulie. I never heard about concussions. I feel like it wasn't even a thing. I don't feel like they existed or happened under his watch. And
they clearly didn't.
And I'm just saying, clearly on the commissioner.
So back to draft day and Ryan Tannehill, because these two have similarities.
I don't know. You assume that Callahan can move.
No. I'm just talking about the movie itself and Ryan Tannehill, both about a 60 out of 100, 55 maybe out of 100. I still don't see the extension or whatever they signed for.
Are you using the Rotten Tomatoes scale to grade a quarterback?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill's a rotten tomato.
He's got a 32.5.
I don't. Okay, name me one game where he's just like, damn, Ryan Tannehill's arrived. Name one.
I mean, I asked you because I don't watch Ryan Tannehill play. Like, I never have. I don't think I've ever seen him play football.
There has not been a statement game, if there is such a thing, which I hate doing.
A statement game.
Statement game. So or like a game where you're just like, fuck, man, Ryan Tannehill is one of these could-be elitists.
So a friend of the show, Kevin Yee, I actually named him this time, so he's probably getting fired right now. But
sucks to be you.
Friend of the show, Kevin Yee, sits next to me one day and says,
I'm going to do heroin.
No, I'm always bashing on Geno Smith. I'm always bashing on him.
Which should be.
He's miserable.
I just want to point out that Ryan Tannehill and those Miami Dolphins lost three of the last four games last year at the end of the year. Yeah, granted, he went four touchdowns against Minnesota in that win, the only win of those four games, 37-35. Pretty good game. Right, I'll give him that.
Sounds like but $96 million.
The games against Baltimore, New England, and the Jets, not very good ones.
Well,
not very good ones. And remember, you did lose to the Jets 37-24. Eesh.
And I think that brings it back to Kevin's question, was that, hey, he goes, hey, you remember when Geno Smith had that perfect QBR?
No, because that never happened.
And I was like, I don't believe you. And so he pulls it. There was a game where, I don't know, Mr. Smith threw three touchdowns, went 20 for 25, like 300 and some odd yards, perfect, you know, whatever.
What game was that against?
158.3, whatever the hell that number.
Lying.
No, and I look at him and I'm like,
quarterback rating, not a QBR.
All right, quarterback rating.
Yeah.
That's my fault. So then
I look at him. QBR rating. I don't know why they doubled down on that, but anyway.
So then I look at him, I'm like, I also believe that he may have thrown up a 7 and a 0.
Yeah. So you go ahead and gauge that.
So if we're going to talk about defining games or breakout moments,
There's just nothing that stands out to me. He wins the games you're supposed to win, loses games that you just inexplicably don't understand why. I don't know. Winning against Jacksonville, San Diego, Chicago, Buffalo, one time against the Jets, and one time against New England at the beginning of the year. I don't know, man. He did go for 4,000 yards. 27 touchdowns and 12 picks. I mean, that's just middle of the road, right? Am I wrong?
I don't know. 4,000 is a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah,
of yards.
That's a lot. But this is today's NFL where 4,000 comes easy.
It's true.
What's his rushing at? 311. Got the groove, y'all. One touchdown, 66 completion percentage. But really, I don't know. What are you getting out of this? Be getting out of this. Where is he?
So the question I have for you, Josh, after
watching draft day,
yeah. It's okay. Obviously, I've seen this movie.
None times.
We're 2 years removed from when this movie came out, so I feel like we're in a position where we can actually grade this draft now. I think a lot of times you come out with grades, you say, hey, they picked Leonard Williams, they get a B for the draft, and we're only six picks into the draft. So in this situation, we've had a couple years to digest these picks. Clearly, Brian Hoyer is no longer with the team. Coach is gone. I feel like the GM is either gone or on the way out.
He's fired.
He fired his dad.
You know what that means. He doesn't love people.
He doesn't love people, which would have been fine because Bo Callahan doesn't have friends.
He doesn't have friends, so sucks to be him.
Do you feel like in real life maybe they went ahead and they drafted Bo Callahan?
In real life?
They went ahead and got Johnny Manziel and they just said...
Yeah, that's real life right there. Yeah.
Do you think he's a better friend today than he was yesterday?
No. No, Bo Callahan has no friends.
He still has no friends. You know, what he does have is an active Twitter account. Still tweeting.
Bo Callahan has an active Twitter account?
Uh-huh. I found
it. Wow.
Thought about inviting him on the show, but he seemed pretty busy.
What's Bo up to?
Well, says maybe he'll switch to hockey.
Mm.
It's not particularly funny. I mean, Bo never really struck me as a funny
guy.
But
nice.
Yeah, he was actually pulling for the Jets to draft him this off season. I'm not sure. That's a possibility.
Well,
anyway, okay, so draft day.
By engaging quarterbacks, where would you put Bo Callahan?
Where would I put him?
Yeah.
Well, he's still sitting behind Russell Wilson, as far as I can tell.
You know, QBR-wise, Ryan Tannehill's 15. That's not what I really look at. What I like to look at is... something of a magic trick that I'm not telling anybody. Go on. Keep talking.
I don't understand what the hell you're talking about.
Don't worry. I've got some things to look at here.
You've got some pictures of Ryan Tannehill that you are shuffling through on your phone. And
No.
So, also, Josh, I did you another solid this weekend. I went back and
again,
I walked.
Again, yep, right here, yep, middle of the road, Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, that's kind of what I've calculated out. He's middle of the road.
So I watched X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Well, that's terrible.
No, you told me to.
It was actually pretty good.
Was it? I feel like you just hung up on me.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was all right. Middle of the road, Tannehill. That's where I'm at. 8-8. 4,000 yards. 27 times. That's at least Joe Flacco color area. Yeah.
So he's sort of like a...
he's like middle of the road.
Like an Iceman or a Human Torch in a world of...
He's more like Draft Day. He's more like the Draft Day movie. Not so much that movie.
Well, I was just thinking about how easily Iceman kept getting destroyed by Sentinels.
You really want to talk about this movie? Because I can talk about it. Let's do it. Let's talk about this shitty-ass movie.
Well, okay.
Let's just talk about how I hate superhero movies now. Just hate them all. I cannot watch them anymore.
I think
we can blame Avengers 2 and anybody that likes Avengers 2. Now, you can go back and listen to the other podcast, but I just want to talk about the experience I had real quick, just real fast. It shouldn't take long. I'm at a birthday party for some little kids, and one of the adults was talking to another adult, Mike, and they said, "Hey, did you see Avengers 2? Now, I'm just overhearing this conversation. And they were like, "Yeah, it was awesome. Kids loved it." And I felt like the biggest dickhead to ever walk the planet, because in my head I go, you know, that's what it's about. It's about the fucking kids. And here I took this shitty-ass movie, completely raked it over the coal. And just, I mean, I murdered it in thinking about it and just taking it way too... I guess it's because we grew up with this kind of shit, and so I feel like it's we're the guardians of it or something. Like, we hold it accountable when it shouldn't be. It's just a shitty kids movie, or, you know, at least to the point of, like, it's made for 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, maybe. You know what I'm saying? That might get these terrible jokes. All about the kids, Mike. And that's pretty much what I boiled down to. It's all about the kids. And no matter how much I want to sit here and shit on it, at the end of the day, that's what those movies are made for. So let's talk about Date, which I kind of liked the first Class one. I thought they were going to go somewhere. And then they brought back some other asshole director and took it back to the way they wanted to.
I think that you hit on something, though, is that, now, first of all, please don't ever call me the guardian of the X-Men movies, because it's just...
I'm just saying, like...
Yeah,
but you get what I'm saying. Like, generally speaking, I feel like we're close to it because that's what we grew up with. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are those things.
Right, no, I mean, the target was us. Those comics came out during... our childhood. Those cartoons were aimed at us as kids, you know. So I get that part, but it's PG-13, and that's why it sucks. It's because you take a movie. I mean, just think about what a movie like Avengers or X-Men could be if they wanted to just go ahead and turn that corner. Now, when they do that, they lose a ton of money, like a ton of money.
Yeah, I know. But here's Mad Max that makes a decent amount of money, and they're rated R.
Yeah, but Mad Max is a different beast than...
Well, it's true. Totally. Yeah, I get it.
But you can make a shitty PG-13 movie and make a lot of money. Or you can make a good movie that's rated R that you don't make as much money.
What happened? Because in the 80s, I feel like rated R's were just, duh, that's what you did.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an economic issue. And, you know, Dread...
What the fuck happened?
I think Dread is a good movie,
but it'll never see its light of day because it was rated R.
Right. I mean, it's obviously light years ahead of whatever that crap was that Stallone put out, which I know wasn't PG-13, but for argument's sake, I will say it was.
I'm also sick of the dudes that are always like, lighten up, everything's so dark. I'm like, what? Nothing is dark. Everything's PG-13.
But see, that's
what
the
are
point.
You talking about? There's nothing dark.
Like, if you had a movie that is, like, supposed to be dark. Say, like, okay, so X-Men Days of Future Past. After watching this, I realized that this is, like,
it's
the
not
prequel.
A dark movie. It's not
well,
a dark movie at all.
Well, that's the point, though. It takes place in, like, the darkest part of the X-Men. It's Age of Apocalypse.
Right. But
stepping
don't really,
on corpses everywhere you go through those comics.
Right.
And then you act like, oh, we're supposed to be able to make jokes now. It's like, no, that's really not the point. Like, I get that you make it PG-13 so that you can sell tickets. But when you talk about the end of the world, no one ever talks about the end of the world like it's going to be a happy time. Like, no one's like, yep, and then we watched Adventure Time, and then we got to watch The Adventures of Gumball. I had ice cream, and then the world ended, and it was crazy. Like, no one ever says that. Like, and especially if you're going to make a movie like X-Men Age of Apocalypse, which apparently is just going to make my mind explode when it comes out, just from sheer frustration and anger. If you make it,
you're the guardians of what was, and now you're just getting shit on by what is.
Well, so X-Men Days of Future Past has my favorite mutant in it, Blink. Again, this comes from the comic books. I have no idea what's happening in the rest of the Marvel universe.
Don't worry. If anything happens, if I see Jubilee, I'm going to shit a brick. I don't like her. I think she's a worthless character. She farts out sparklers. Big fucking deal. I never understood what the fuck Jubilee was ever – like the cartoons. Like I felt like it was let's follow Jubilee and her story. Who gives a shit? It wasn't about her. Like where did she come from?
Yeah, it was always weird how those cartoons were so Jubilee-centric.
Why do we care about this girl that farts out sparks? Who gives a shit? It's not about this. I hated Jubilee. I'm sorry, but it's like a lot of... The very first episode was all Jubilee, and I didn't understand it.
No, it's okay.
It's like the original X-Men. What the fuck did you do with Colossus? You made him no one.
Yeah.
No one.
Just miserable. Just the dude who turns into metal that robots don't care about. Because they're metal too.
No, the movies ruined Nightcrawler. They really ruined him. I think X-Men movies in general were ruined by every turn. I mean, you could look at the origins with Wolverine and that whole disgusting puke fest. But what's cool is that this past movie erased it all with a good old time travel sequence. Nothing fixes anything like a good old time travel. Maybe one day me and you can go back in time and fix all of our shows. Act like none of this ever happened.
And I'll just be like, welcome back.
Touch her.
So my biggest...
Logan!
My biggest gripe about this movie... Okay. Man, there's so many of those that I'm thinking about. I'm not going to get into that. My biggest gripe is Ellen Page. I don't understand... What? Why can she not be in anything anymore? Ever? Can we just be done with Ellen Page?
Juno is Ellen Page, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that movie. That seems like
her
a good
character
bookmark.
Was much passenger is, you know, like it's very. She didn't matter. Like I know she was the one throwing Wolverine back in time, but I felt like it didn't matter what happened. She was just a tool.
I'm like
that.
Not
like
even
I'm
sure
actually using that term correctly. A tool. She was a tool to get him back in time.
Yeah, I no offense. I don't know who Kitty Pryde is. I'm not caught up on the comics. I don't remember her being anywhere near Apocalypse.
No, she wasn't anywhere near it.
So, I don't know. I get it. Fine, you got Peter Dinklage. You forced him in there. You've got all kinds of random crap.
Yeah, I feel like at no point did anybody want to point out that he's a mutant for being a midget. Nobody wants to point that out. I thought that was an interesting take, that the midget who finds... mutants are intriguing that he is actually a mutant, an original human mutant. It would be him. No offense, Peter. No offense.
It's okay.
But I mean, there is some irony there.
I just feel like, Josh, that maybe we have a calling and it may be to get X-Men Apocalypse or Age of Apocalypse shut down. No, shut down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Okay.
There's still time. There's still time. We don't need
Olivia Munn. Did you watch past the credits and you see the blue? You see the blue thing?
It's
supposed to be Apocalypse. It's like very
I'm not sure
early.
What that's supposed to be. I was wondering if that was supposed to be Exodus. I don't know.
You got the horsemen, right?
Well, what I was thinking of is that like Professor Xavier, he has a son who's like even more powerful than he, but super crazy.
Who's he sleeping with? He's got no legs.
Oh, he can do whatever he wants. He can float.
Don't even get started on how the movie. Remember, he's powerful enough to like transform him into another body, his mind, and look, remember that in like 3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he couldn't make that body work his legs. And I think Professor X is a whiny bitch. I'm going to be honest with you.
Just drink those tears.
Stop drinking those X-Men tears.
X-Men Deflategate tears.
Oh, man, Deflategate. Okay, so anyway, let's continue on with bashing the shit out of this X-Men thing.
No, I feel like
we're... You feel good? Done. You're good?
I feel good about it.
Okay, what's the positive out of the movie? What did you take away? You're like, you know, all right, they got that part done.
Every time a mutant died, I felt conflicted.
Like, they all didn't really die.
I know, but when they were dying, like, I was... Except for when Storm dies, come on, just give it up. Like, it's not a big deal.
I think the one part when they talk about the other mutants that died that they didn't show... Remember, Azazel! And some other chick, and some they're other
like,
mutant.
They're like Banshee.
They're like, yeah, they were like really meaningful, but to the audience, it didn't mean shit because we didn't see any of those deaths.
I know, they were just
so like you claiming all these past buddies that you're dying. We're like, oh, fuck them. I don't care.
They're like, hey, remember all those kids from Generation X? No, they're all dead. I was like, I think I was the only guy who read that comic. I don't think anybody got those references. It's fine.
No, no.
So yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm glad that Blink was in there. She was funnish, I guess. I don't know. When this
why
follow-up
she
movie...
Why can't just Blink them in a constant loop?
I don't know. Josh, I don't know.
Because, Josh, they can adapt. And how come those are not the Sentinels in the story, though?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my problem, was that, like...
These are, like, super beefed up Sentinels.
Yeah, it was like a Terminator 2 Sentinel kind of situation.
You got all that from Mystique, who's not that important of a character.
Well, look, she's blue and she's Jennifer Gardner. And if you've seen the photos that I've seen, then yeah, she's really important.
She's really important.
Really, really.
You know what I find funny is when she's upset that her naked photos are on the internet, yet she's wearing a blue skin-tight suit. That is pretty revealing enough to say, well, you know, I can use my imagination to figure out what she looks like underneath that.
I can blink real fast.
I mean, yeah. It just kind of makes you sound stupid.
So then there's that.
I just don't like people looking at me.
We've got a couple minutes before we go, and I did want to address your comments that are flooding Facebook currently. Flooding. Apparently there's some DLC coming out for is it Destiny?
Oh, God, dude, why are you going to do this to me? I fucking hate that fucking game. I hate it. It should be banned from every country. It's worthless.
So if you don't know, Destiny, for the only reference I have to this game, other than Josh telling me about it and how much it sucks, and how much you were playing it.
Yeah, it was unhealthy. It was very unhealthy, and I don't recommend anybody playing it because of their cheap parlor tricks that they like to do and get you to, you know, blow and lay out tons of time. It's a time sink game that you get no reward for, none whatsoever. And at the end of the day, what do you get? You get nothing. You have nothing to show for it except a little number by your name that says you put in enough time and this is what you get. And your armor rating okay, I'm done. I'm not getting into it.
So the thing is, like, this game, they made a white PS4 for it. You know, like, I wanted to get a PS4, clearly haven't done it, broke as hell, whatever. Yeah. But I wanted it because I got a white PS4.
Right.
But the same breath, I didn't want that game.
Yeah, I don't blame you for not wanting that game. I think, you know what, I'm glad that you never got into that game. It's, honestly, the shooter scene is dead, man.
Well, I think part of it was that when it came out, I asked you about it because it was such a big deal. It was like this big release.
The huge hype machine. Yeah.
And you said, well, you know, it's a game that requires a lot of social stuff. Like, you need a certain amount of people to do certain stages. And if you don't have those people, then you can't do them.
Right, because they don't give you the option to just link up with strangers that have the option as well. It's all about option to me, and I never understood why they chose to just say, well, it's so complex that you just need some friends to do it.
Well, and I think when you said that initially, I just stopped.
Yeah.
I was just like, guess what? I'm not getting it. And I'll tell you why is because, first of all, I suck at these games.
Okay.
That there's that. That's its own conversation.
Okay.
But the social aspect, like, you play a lot of shooters. Like, you have people you do this shit with.
Yeah.
For me, I would just stand on the side of a glacier for the rest of my life because no one would ever log in to help me do this. Like, my game would end 5 hours in, and I would just be like, great.
Yeah, you could do a lot of other stuff that would never progress you.
Yeah, see, that sounds really fun.
The only way to progress in that game is do the hardest, stupid, meticulous shit. It is, like, meticulous. It's so it's not even hard. It's not hard. Nothing about this game is, like, Dark Souls 2 hard or Dark Souls hard or Bloodborne hard. And nothing about it is, like, hard. It's just meticulous. And to get five other people, including yourself, to coordinate some stupid shit on a timed event, it's pointless. And you don't get any really good rewards from it. So, and this time go around, they took away a raid and added some other fucking, what they do best is like, waves of enemies come at you. Because God knows that game needed more of that shit. The whole single player was that. Oh, pulled out Dinklebot. Oh, here comes the horde mode. It's like they took everything they learned from Halo and just shit out something else. You know what? I think for me, it was like the end. Talking to somebody today about the shooters. Was like, I played Halo 1, 2, and 3 right in a row, and I tried going to Halo 4, and it just, I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out of shooters. I don't want to look at another shooter for a long time. And I think that Battlefield crap line or whatever, Battlefield cop field or battle cops hard line, that was the nail in the coffin. That was so bad. And for anybody that ever wasted a dime on that game, I feel for you. And I hope to God you somehow get your money back. I don't know how at this point, but it's so terrible. I think shooters themselves are just, they're dead, man. There's no innovation. It's just, stop playing them. Just get something else. Buy some fucking indie game and go from there. At least then you'll feel like, hey, I spent $15 on something that's actually cared for and made by people that are reachable, unlike the AAA monsters that are out there.
No, I agree with that, and I think that I had a friend actually come up to me the other day, and she goes, I haven't had a chance to play a game in a month. And I looked at her, I was like, I don't think I've played a game in more than a year. And I literally don't have the time. And when I do play games, it's like some shitty thing on a, you know, like a Kindle Fire, and it's like,
I think a game that Bloodborne is one of those. I think I like Bloodborne. I played it few times at a friend's house. It made me go get Dark Souls 2, and I really enjoyed that one. So that was it's a nice break. It's hard as fuck. And if you like old school games, it'll make you appreciate it a lot more. So, yeah, and well, Grand Theft Auto was always cool too. So,
yeah, I mean, all these names sound really fun, but what I get stuck or playing are like Mini Warriors. And then I spend 800 hours playing Mini Warriors while I'm taking dumps and baths. And
that's all you, man.
And then at some point I said, you know what? I am not going to waste one more second of my life.
I can't do those anymore. I cannot do those. Those will drive me nuts.
Yeah, and that was the point, is I just literally had to sit down and say, never happening again. Like, not happening. I put it down. I took it off her Kindle. It's my kid's Kindle, of all things.
I think what happened for me in the shooters is what happened to me in Madden. Just you washed it all out. You, every year with the same shit, you just burn your audience completely to the ground. Leave them with nothing.
It's just it's all Heavenly Sword from here. It's just square, circle, triangle.
It's like God of War. I loved God of War, but it's like they ran out of ideas. Like, okay, well, then just end the game and make another game. It's like, why do we need 10 sequels of the same fucking game? Take some years off and create a new game.
I got time for that.
Yeah. What is this one?
I'm gonna scissor kick you in the back of the head.
I'm fucking sick of that kid.